Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters, and seekers of the truth. I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 572nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is Endgame Update number 36. And later in this message, folks, stay tuned because we're going to dive all into what type of person are you? Are you a natural person? A spiritual, a carnal person? So are you, as that song goes, a natural woman? And may I add, a natural man? At first glance, that may sound good, but I'm telling you, folks, it implies that you're born into the natural world, blind to the spiritual, and bound by the material realm. And if that's you, then sadly, you're someone that simply cannot know God. Now, don't get mad at me because I didn't say it. God did. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So I hope you stay tuned to learn whether you're a natural, spiritual, or carnal person by nature. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. Now, folks, every week what we do is we review something from a past episode, and I'd like to wind the clock back a few weeks. And a few weeks ago, in our Back to the Future segment, we looked into this guy known as Uncle Ted, also known as Ted Kaczynski, also known as the Unabomber. Now, there's a clip we played, and I've been looking for it right now. And I'm going to continue to look for it as I ramble here for a minute or two. But what we talked about in this particular clip, or what we listened to, was a talk by some show. And let's see if we can find it here. I might not be able to. But what it was just an investigation into the Unabomber. Yes, here it is. Una with an A. U-N-A. If we find it. Here it is. So it's a minute and a half clip, and the question is, did a psychological test affect the Unabomber?
Ted Kaczynski was accepted to Harvard University at the age of 16, full scholarship. His family thought this was going to be the beginning of a great future.
When Ted arrives at college, it's nothing like what he had dreamed of and hoped for, because he felt isolated, he felt different, he felt rejected at every turn.
Ted basically became a guinea pig in an ethically dubious psychological experiment conducted by Dr. Henry Murray.
They gave a kind of psychological test to incoming freshmen. They selected the people they thought were the most alienated, in effect, the most vulnerable. for this study to kind of determine what their breaking point might be.
Henry Murray was using students to study the effect of stress. He did that by subjecting them to long periods of intense interrogation designed to break down their egos, to break down their confidence.
From the time I was a child, I had this realization that my brother was special.
The bomb was placed inside of a book.
16 bombs in 17 years.
I asked Mom, why is he like this?
Hey, folks, Pat Goff. Okay, so why? You may be wondering, well, what's the big deal, Brokan? Why are you all hung up on Ted Kaczynski? Well, this topic has fascinated me. And the reason is because I'm starting to see it's just one more example of how we the people have been lied to by the cabal, the establishment, the deep state, the Luciferians, or whatever you choose to call them. And so today I'd like to tell you about an article I found on Unabomber. It was first published in 2014 by a man named Miles Mathis. And then he did it 3 years later in 2017. Fake hoax, fake false, flat psyop. The Unabomber was another psyop. Now, I'm not going to get into all this, but all you have to do is go to Miles Mathis's website. It's Miles Mathis, all one word, and that's spelled Miles, M-I-L-E-S, W-H-I-S .com. You want to do a /unabomber.pdf. Now, I encourage you to go out there and read this for yourselves, folks. And one word of caution, if you search for this man, Miles W. Mathis, see that he's being slandered and smeared all across the Internet. Rational Wiki refers to him as a conspiracy coup. No surprise there. And I'm not making a joke, man. Just go look at the information. And if you do, folks, I think you're going to see that this is another story out there that we've been lied to. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And for some reason, I missed that one. Thought it was a crazy guy. I bought the media narrative. So my message to all of you out there is, even though you may be red-pilled, even though you may be awake, every story coming out of the mainstream media is suspect. Every story has an agenda. And that's my point. We have to move, and let's get started with Brother Alex's and Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every single week, folks, let's get started with the coronavirus heist update.
It's a scam, damn it. They call it the great equal life. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know that all their lies are mind control. The corona.
And that's what it was, folks. A series of lies, and a psyop, whatever you want to call it. This was not about a pandemic. This was a scamdemic. This was not about health. This was about control. Hello? Test? I think I'm starting to be throttled. Here it is, 10 minutes into the show, folks. I'm going to try to listen on my backup, and if I hear an issue, I'm going to switch over. But like I was saying, this appears to be nothing more than a population reduction plan to advance their 2030 agenda. It's all together. War, carbon, you know, carbon is essential. It's the building block of all organic matter. CO2 is not a poison. CO2 is essential for vegetation to grow. It's part of the photosynthetic process, as is nitrogen. And there's war being waged on both CO2 and nitrogen, but more on that a little bit later. So we open with a SADS update, sudden adult death syndrome update. I've been focusing on individuals, But the magnitude of this is huge. There's a new paper, a peer-reviewed, in a peer-reviewed medical journal that came out on October 1st. COVID causing myocarditis and encephalitis, which is leading to death. The paper is titled A Case Report, Multifocal Necrotizing Encephalitis and Myocarditis After the BNT162B2 mRNA Vaccination Against COVID-19. Now, that little precursor, the BNT162B2, three different lots of the Pfizer, and was one switch, folks. So let's do the switch. I can hear them breaking up. We're going to mute this. We're going to unmute this. And I think now, if everything's right, I am on the new backup system, which is so frustrating, but I'm not going to get into all that. So what we're doing now is we're looking at a paper that came out October 1st, and it's showing that the COVID vaccines and not COVID cause myocarditis and encephalitis, leading to death in most of these people. So anyways, this paper has had over 100,000 views of the abstract and over 6,000 views of the full text as of this past Monday. And this is an amazing compilation of information out there. And I'm just going to read from the abstract a little bit and show you what's in it, or tell you what's in it. The current report presents the case of a 76-year-old man with Parkinson's disease who died 3 weeks after receiving his third COVID jab. Another patient was first vaccinated May 2021 with a particular vector vaccine, followed by two doses of this particular one in question. So, you know, they told you can mix and match. This is what's so crazy about this. Now, he had those in July and December of 2021. And then this particular patient had some issues leading to death. And then the family of the deceased requested an autopsy due to the ambiguous clinical signs before the death. And the confirmation from the postmortem examination was that there were these particular issues in this individual that had three shots. And then there are further signs of aspiration pneumonia, systemic arteriosclerosis. These were all evident in these autopsies performed on these people who had anywhere from 2 to 4 doses. And there's all sorts of other issues that we've been talking about on this show ad nauseum for about 2 years now. Now, for those of you listening who aren't familiar with all the medical jargon in this particular article, that term necrotizing means tissue death, and multifocal means all over the brain. So they are having necrotizing events, multifocal necrotizing events in the brain. That means that this particular jab attacks your brain, folks. It passes the blood-brain barrier, and yet we were told that this particular technology stays in the muscle where it's injected in your arm. That's a lie. Now, there's more information out there. There's an article that summarizes how vaccines can cause sudden death, and that's what this segment right now is all about, sudden adult death syndrome. And the existing autopsy studies have actually predated this paper we just talked about. Now, this German study says that on COVID vaccines and why they can't work, listing all the irrefutable evidence of the causative role in the deaths of the jab. So that's why we call it a death jab out here, folks. This isn't tongue-in-cheek parody. This is truth. And there's a video out there explaining the findings. Now, it's an English voiceover, and it's rather distracting. And there are some better reports out there. So I'm going to share some sources you can go to learn about this for yourself so that you can educate your friends and family. But in plain English, the vaccines can kill cells in your brain and in your heart, causing you to die. So avoid it, folks. Vaccines are never supposed to do that. Yet the CDC is silent, and they're not alerting anybody to these dangers. And you know what? When we're out here, people like you and me sharing this information. We're known as misinformation super spreaders. But let's go out there and share the truth with others and help people like Steve Kirsch, who published this, spread the word. Now, you may be thinking, well, Brokim, that's just one guy. That's Steve Kirsch. He's just one man. But there's another report out by Israel, the Israeli report, titled The mRNA Experimental Vaccine from Pfizer Killed About 40 Times More Elderly People Than the Disease Itself Would Have Killed During a 5-Week Vaccination Study Period. And this is out there. You can find that paper. It was written by Dr. Paul Alexander. It's a reanalysis of the data published from the Israeli Health Ministry by Dr. Harvey Selgman. He's a member of the Faculty of the Medicine, Emerging Infectious and Tropical Diseases at a university in Israel. And there's an engineer who also worked on that study, stating that the mRNA experimental vaccine from Pfizer killed about 40 times more elderly people than the disease itself would have killed. And in younger people, those numbers are even more astronomical, folks. These numbers are off the charts. For people in the 18 to 40 age group, are you ready for this, folks? Are you ready for what I'm about to tell you? 260 times more people are dying from the jab than the disease. Can you believe this stuff? 260 times more people. That's right, Paul. 1 to 2 orders of magnitude more people are dying from this jab than the supposed disease. That's 40 to 260 times more people dead. Why? Because of a government-sponsored propaganda campaign. And did you hear all the information coming out by whistleblowers this week about the CDC funding to the tune of $1 billion for comedians, show writers, corporate media to push narrative, to make fun of people like me and others who know the truth concerning this death jab? So let me ask you a question. Do you want to stay healthy? Well, if so, stay away from doctors. That's the point. There are no epidemics or pandemics out there, folks. There isn't. There's only one, and that's vitamin deficiency, in particular vitamin D and vitamin C and some of the minerals like zinc. Now, millions of us knew from the start that COVID was a depopulation scam. We did, and it's starting to come out now. And all of you need to know how important it is to have adequate levels of vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc and some other compounds in your body. Yet all of us out there trying to talk about this, including Dr. Zalewski and many others, were gagged. We're gagged by this. Did you know that even a half a gram of some zinc produces nearly 5 times as many COVID-19 antibodies as some of these pseudo drugs they're putting together now, these cocktails? I just forgot the name of the one, Pansevere or whatever it is. And when you combine zinc and vitamin C, it increases the ability to, your body's ability to neutralize the spike by, I forget what it is, 5 or 10 times. No one needed to die in ICUs across this country with a tube rammed down their throat and all kinds of drugs destroying your kidneys. No, these doctors who are following this are Rockefeller directed minion. Remember, Rockefeller started this entire allopathic medical system at John Hopkins back around the 1920s. He had all this petroleum product that he had to do something with. So what did they do? They started making all sorts of things out of it, including pharma. Folks, you got to wonder how many of these doctors today are just plain psychopaths like Dr. Mengele from the Nazi regime. How about this? Let's ask people out there on the street if they think Dr. Fauci, the fraud himself, is a sociopath. By the way, did you know that high dose of vitamin C can reverse any of these so-called viral diseases? If you take about 24 grams of vitamin C, you can do it in 1 gram capsule, so that's 24 capsules, split them up into 4-6 capsule doses over a period of 24 hours, you're going to see a radical improvement. And if you don't, just increase the dose. You know what the side effect is? If you take too much, diarrhea. Now, the Chinese, they knew this from the start. That was their first protocol for COVID-19, and you can read about that. There's papers out there. There's one on Rumble. It's a video. It's how high-dose vitamin C can bring you back from the dead. Now, the medical profession, including Fauci and all those frauds, will lie to you and never tell you these truths. But this is truth, folks. I'm telling you, it's truth. So we need to do this. We truly do. And if we don't, we're going to die. Now, here's another sad note. Even some of the good doctors like Dr. Malone and Dr. Corey and Dr. Peter McCullough, they're not telling you about some of the things you can do to reverse the clotting. Natokinase, it's a cheap, safe, effective over-the-counter supplement that dissolves blood clots. You know, I'm not hearing them talk about it, and you've got to ask why. And are they telling you about this high-dose vitamin C like I just did? Are they telling you that it can even reverse the damage caused in the brain that we covered earlier on? No, they're not. Now, there's a very good page you can go out to. It's called signalplus.com. And they have an article out there in vitamin C, and it's referred to as the Lazarus vitamin. So if you can't find it, just search for vitamin C, the Lazarus vitamin, and you'll come up with it. Now, I'm not a doctor, folks, and I'm not giving you advice. I'm giving you information. But one thing I am is a health nut. And I'm telling you, this is a protocol which can, it's showing indications that it can reverse the damage from the jab and help you survive. And there's another page to check out. It's called survivethejab.com. You know, vibrant health by people like you and me, the red pilled, is the best revenge we can get, because when we're healthy and when we're independent, financially, food-wise, health-wise, we cannot be controlled. The key, folks. Now, the second reference by Kirsch was those German results I mentioned in that video. And that video is very difficult to watch. It's boring because there's the dubbing I told you about. It's German and it's being dubbed. Difficult to follow because of all that dubbing. And there's no bullet points or headlines to make recall easier. So I watched the video and I said, you know, this isn't the best. There's got to be a better one out there. And there is. And it's out on Rumble. And if you just put some keywords out on Rumble, Professor Arnie Burkhart, COVID-19, self-destruction, put those keywords into the the Rumble search bar and you'll find it. And if not, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com and I'll be sure to get it out to you. Plus, there's another paper out there that covers the results in greater detail. It's found on doctorsforcovidethics.org. And it's vascular and organ damage induced by mRNA vaccines, irrefutable proof of causality. Folks, the information's coming out, and that's my point. And there's another very clear presentation out on BitChute. So if you want some of this information, start researching for it, and you're going to see, folks, that the information is starting to leak out everywhere, and they're not going to be able to hold this back. Now, this is a concern for me because I believe they're going to have to do another false flag to put the lid on it. Folks, those of us who have researched this from day one, we understand that this is a global New World Order medical state coup d'etat, and it's nothing to do about your health or mine. This is all about control, and this is about the Great Recess, the advance of Agenda 2030, which was the follow-up to Agenda 2020. Now, you may ask, why? Well, because the information regarding the consequences of all of these scientific technologies, you know, as they use this word all the time, were never about health. It's a platform, a bioweapon platform. That information's coming out now too, folks. These are bioweapon platforms that will be triggered by 5G. Now, over the past 2 years, we've learned about all of these deleterious side effects of this, including the reverse transcription. We talked about that. The pathogenic priming, the accumulation of the mRNA in your organs and other cells like in your brain that lead to deadly clots, strokes, health issues, all these different things. And we've covered how it's actually causing AIDS. It impairs your immune response. And all the neurological disorders like mad cow disease and the acceleration of even cancer. Yet sadly, the Fourth Reich New World Order continues to release this damning technology anyways. And did you know this, folks? I don't know if you knew it or not, but it's actually being used in the flu shots now.
What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
Paul, I am serious as the sunrise that's going to be happening here in any minute. You know, folks, this is literally crime against humanity. And do you remember a while back, I don't know if it was a month or so, we actually played the European Parliament member Christine Anderson referring to this jab as a crime against humanity.
This vaccine campaign, it will go down as the biggest scandal in medical history, and moreover, it will be known as the biggest crime ever committed on humanity.
Now, I don't know if you remember or not, folks, but I used to talk about a rapper named Tom McDonald, and I haven't checked him out for a while, so I said, I should go check his YouTube page out. Can you believe he's still on YouTube? This guy, Tom McDonald, is a truth teller, and I found this one he had out called Coronavirus. So let's see if we can find it. I can't find it, folks. I know I had it. Donald Coronavirus. But, you know, what I'm starting to see in this world today is that people who are telling the truth are getting deplatformed. Did you hear that Peter McCullough just got deplatformed? Tom McDonald, Coronavirus. So that should be there. It's Coronavirus. Or Coronavirus. I just want you to hear what he wrote because it's so powerful. I don't think it uploaded, folks. So we're not going to get to hear it. I have it here, but it's not up on the screen. When I type in Tom McDonald, nope, it's not here. So we're not going to get to hear it. But I'm telling you, Tom had a line in there that said, "The people scared me more than the virus." And I love that line, folks. Everyone turned on everyone else, and it has never gotten better. We're not going back to normal. It just keeps getting worse. There's so much division out there, so much greed, so much hate. And this is the type of stuff that Tom McDonald actually talked about. I'll find it, and we'll play it next week. It's good, folks. So there's Tom McDonald, a rapper, out there rapping out our history, truthfully telling the story as it happens. And I just encourage you, go out to Tom McDonald's YouTube page. And I know you may not be into that type of music, but that music may be our next history book. It may be how we actually remember what happened. So I'm just saying, God bless Tom, and I think it's his wife, Nova, and Lord, keep him from any harm, and help Tom to see the light of the truth of the gospel as Tom becomes a voice for those of us who stand up for what's right. And pray that in Jesus' name. But, you know, folks, we have to keep moving. Got a lot of information to cover today. And right now, it is time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, right, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Call Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, Ka means solve. Boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb. Kabu means to slam or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before you get it done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world will just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
So let me ask you a question. What are two of the biggest stories in the news right now? Well, one is Hurricane Ian, and it kind of came and went really fast. And then, of course, the other, which is just a perennial ad nauseum, is the climate change and the need to go green and all this other garbage, which is nothing more than another control vector in their global plan to destroy the middle class and to make us all their slaves. Well, this one about the hurricane is a lie. And in particular, I'm pointing out an article from Michael Schellenberger on Substack that talks about how the media is lying about climate change cause for the hurricanes. Now, over the past several weeks, that's all you've been hearing on the media outlets, claiming that the hurricane down in Florida has become so expensive and so frequent because of climate change. It was in the Financial Times. They reported that hurricane frequency is on the rise. That's a lie. The New York Times claimed strong storms are becoming more common in the Atlantic Ocean. That's a lie. The Washington Post said climate change is rapidly fueling super hurricanes. Another lie. ABC declares, here's how climate change intensifies hurricanes. And that's why I cringe when Terry puts on the ABC Nightly News. It's all a bunch of lies. And even the Financial Times and the New York Times printed this graph showing how rising hurricane frequency, supposedly using data from the U.S. government's NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. These claims are all lies, folks. The increasing cost of hurricane damage can be explained by another, more entirely demographic explanation, and that is that more people are building more properties in harm's way. You can just look at some of the demographics around well-known cities like Miami. Look back in 1920, what Miami was, and look at Miami today. Now, what's going to happen when you build in the path of these storms? You're going to see an increasing level of damage in terms of dollars. Plus, these claims that the hurricanes are becoming more frequent, that's also wrong. This is a quote from NOAA. After adjusting for a likely undercount of hurricanes in pre-satellite era, there is essentially no long-term trend in hurricane counts. The evidence for an upward trend is even weaker if we look at U.S. landfalling hurricanes, which even show a slight negative trend beginning from 1900 or from the late 1800s. Folks, that's NOAA reporting this. And NOAA expects a 25% decline in hurricane frequency in the future. And what about intensity now? Let's talk about intensity, okay? Well, NOAA explains, and remember, this is the government organization that tracks weather, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association. And this is their direct quote, this is in quotes, after adjusting for changes in observing capabilities, that's limited ship observations and, you know, the hurricane plane that flies into the eye in the pre-satellite era, there is no significant long-term trend since the 1980s in the proportion of hurricanes that become major hurricanes. So what's the bottom line here, folks? Well, they answer that question. And they say, we conclude that the historic Atlantic hurricane data at this stage does not provide compelling evidence for a substantial greenhouse warming-induced century-scale increase in, first, the frequency of tropical storms, hurricanes, and major hurricanes, or in the proportion of hurricanes that become telling you this is all kabuki theater. CO2 is good for the environment. It promotes plant growth. If you want the rainforests to refoliate and revegetate, increase the CO2. If you want more crops, if you want bumper crops, if you want to be able to feed all the people that are in famine zones like in Africa, increase the CO2. So the new enemy of the state is nitrogen. And nitrogen is also crucial to plant growth. Without CO2 and nitrogen, folks, we cannot grow food. I'm telling you, this is a depopulation agenda, and we, the people, are the target. But now we have to keep moving. And right now, here's a message from the FBI.
I'm FBI Special Agent Hetfield. We recently raided founder and CEO of MyPillow, Mike Lindell. We expected to find evidence of election tampering, fraud, support for Trump, which, as you know, is highly illegal. We didn't find any of that, though. What we did find was a good night's sleep. I gotta say, politics aside, these pillows that we confiscated from Mike Lindell are the most comfortable, nicest pillows that I've ever slept on. I mean, all the guys in the office can't stop talking about how comfortable and soft they really are.
Before we rated Mike Lindell as a political stunt, I was using a competitor's pillow. It was not a good pillow.
I can't sleep. How can I sleep knowing I'm just a political arm of the Biden administration?
But now, after a long day raiding Biden's political opponents, investigating concerned parents at school board meetings, and egging on disturbed young men to commit acts of terror, I can finally catch a few Z's. With MyPillow's patented adjustable fill stay cool technology and fluffy design that will not go flat, no matter how many Trump supporters I beat with it.
Where were you on January 6th? Come! You want me to do it again? I'll hit you again! Is that what you want?
Go ahead!
It's so comfortable.
My Pillow, the official pillow of the FBI.
Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I found that very funny. And by the way, support Mike Lindell. God bless him. Some of the work that he's been accused of being conspiracy theorists with is actually coming out and being proven to be true. Did you hear about the, what was it, Michael Yang, I believe his name was. Don't quote me on that, but the CEO of the company compiling poll worker data has been arrested for sending that data to China in violation of all sorts of U.S. laws and regulations. Now, people like Mike and the researchers that Mike supports have been labeled conspiracy theorists for stating this. Yet, I think it was 2 days after this story broke, and that's Lindell money behind a lot of this research, folks. 2 days after that broke, it comes out that this executive was arrested for sending this information, which can be used against these people to coerce them to do different things that are illegal, immoral, at the election. Do you see how all this is put together, folks? We have to keep moving. This next article is about Ken, is by a guy named Ken Macon over at Reclaim the Net. And if you haven't checked that site out, go over to reclaimthenet.org, and you're going to see some very good articles. Now, this one is breaking down the latest news on a project named Project Icebreaker. Now, you may be saying, well, what's Project Icebreaker? Well, it's a collaboration between three countries, Israel, Norway, and Sweden. And they're out there testing what's known as the formative version of a one-world currency. So the central banks of these three countries, Israel, Norway, and Sweden, as well as the Bank of International Settlements, you may have heard of that as BIS, B-I-S, they've teamed together on this project called Project Icebreaker, and they're testing the feasibility of central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, to enable fast cross-border payments using CBDCs, and they're going to claim that it's a cost reduction effort. That's what it's all about. But folks, between you and me, we know that this Luciferian money-changing monstrosity, and I'm referring to the Federal Reserve and all of the money changers, there's a Zionistic key to all this. And then you've got what the Zionists in Israel are doing with this vaccine program. We talked a little bit about that earlier on. It's pretty easy to conclude that there's something seriously wrong with the government in Israel right now. And then let's not even get me going on that Antichrist propagandist, Noah Yuval Harari. We've played his clips on here. And I'm starting to think he's influenced many in the failed Israeli system. So there's an Antichrist mindset out there. And it's not good. Let's just leave it at that. Now, there's also this anti-Semitic move from the Obama administration and this current regime. And I think they colluded against Netanyahu every turn they could. And I think it's the leftists and the deep state's biggest fear that Netanyahu may come back into power. And that's likely it may happen. Look what happened in Italy. Look at the populist move in many other Western nations right now. Look what's happening in Brazil. And, of course, the whole MAGA movement with Trump here. People love their countries. People love their identity. And the goal of the New World Order is to take and tear from us every identity, even the identity of our gender. And more on that a little bit later. Now, you know, it's really shocking that there are still people out there who think this whole central bank digital currency is some sort of conspiracy theory. You know, I talked about Bill Sweet and what he's doing, and I still think that was a honeypot operation. But if not, my apologies, Bill. But they are going to use central bank digital currency to control us. And it's happening right now, and what we need to do is spread the word. But we have to keep moving, and it's time for our newest segment called Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, follow, follow. You find the end of the wind, the wind, if ever a wind there was. If ever, oh, ever a wind there was, the wind of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
Now, I didn't realize this, but some of the people, a good friend of mine, Rick, I've known him since high school. He was listening to the show, and I was explaining to him what the Yellow Brick Road is, and he wasn't aware of it. But, folks, The Wizard of Oz, although it's a child's story just like Alice in Wonderland, there's political commentary woven into that. And it was the battle, the bimetallism battle between gold and silver, which was going to become the dominant currency. You know, this is all pre-Federal Reserve 1913 and all the garbage that happened with the 16th Amendment, the Federal Reserve, the move from the gold and silver standards, which are in our Constitution. Money's defined in terms, a dollar's defined, folks, in terms of a weight of silver. Yet we've lost all that. So this segment talks about the money trail. And, you know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Control the money and you control the world. So this central bank digital currency will be programmed to be used against you and me. And they're going to have an expiration date on it. And I thought Dan Bongino did a very good job. He was talking to Layla Halpern on his show. And here's a three-minute clip that covers this. And I think it's so very good. So what I'd like to do for you right now is play that three-minute clip. And here I have to call it up, and we will have it here in a minute. Here goes. This is Dan Bongino and Layla Halpern talking about the CBDC.
When the federal government controls the money, and it's a digital money on your phone, and cash is banned, we are screwed. Screwed. I've warned you about this forever. They control everything. Oh, digital money. Tell you what, we're going to deactivate that money at gun stores. You are. You don't have to ban the Second Amendment. You just say, well, we're just not going to let digital money be spent. Yeah? How are you going to get a gun? What are you going to do? Go trade chickens for a firearm? You going to barter? I have never seen a better explanation in a minute or less than this. Layla Halpern, I've had her on my Fox show. She's wonderful. I'm going to try to get her on Unfiltered this weekend. Here in a minute, she nails it. Nails it. The real dangers, some additional things you have to worry about. The federal government takes over money and makes it all digital. Check this out.
I'm going to tell you why a digital currency issued by your government is going to be very dangerous. Number one, it's programmable, which means it can be programmed to only be spent on specific items. For example, you go to fill up your car, but your money is declined because you've reached your pollution allowance by buying too much meat this week. Number two, it can expire, which forces you to spend, diminishing your ability to build long-lasting wealth and save. Essentially becoming a slave to the system because you're going to have to work until the day you die. Number three, it's centralized, which means it's entirely in the control of your government. So the same rubbish monetary policy which is causing astronomical inflation will continue to occur. We saw what happened in Canada when people had a different opinion about forced injections to that of the government, and they had their bank accounts frozen. So with CBDCs, if you hold the wrong opinion, this freezing of your assets will be much more efficient. Ultimately, the level of control that will come from a central bank digital currency will be nothing like we've ever seen before. Protect yourself, say no, and choose something which is far more decentralized like Bitcoin.
Awesome. Now, one thing I haven't addressed about the dangers of digital currency that she did that is super important. They could put an expiration date on it. Why would they want to do that? Let's say you get some awful Democrat or even a swampy Republican who says, hey, we need economic stimulus. Well, the best economic stimulus would be free markets and a job. But of course, you know, if you read Wikipedia, you think the government saved us from the New Deal and that Allende saved Chile. You're like, no, the government's the source of prosperity. So what we're going to do is, the government's just going to create a trillion in digital currency. You can create it just like that, a couple keystrokes. Everyone's going to get it, but to stimulate the economy, you got to spend it. You got to spend it in 3 months, and it's going to expire. And they say, well, what's the problem with that, Dan? I don't know, inflation, like kind of what we're having now. You think that'd be a little bit of a problem, flooding the economy with a three-month burst of spending created out of nowhere? More money chasing less and fewer goods? Nah, it's never happened before, except it's happening right now.
I thought that was well said, so that's why I wanted to play that. I'm telling you, folks, this is one of the key vectors in their control grid, the digital money linked to your social credit score that they'll turn off or turn on based on your behavior, based on your political position, based on your compliance or lack thereof. This is how they're going to control us. But we have to keep moving. And it's time now for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Hey, Henrietta, where are you at there? Again, there she is. You know, in this segment, folks, we talk about prepping. And prepping just doesn't include food and shelter and protection. It also includes prepping for the upcoming midterm elections. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, I won't vote. Well, folks, the ballot box is the precursor to the bullet box. So we need to exhaust every legal and political option we have before you turn to the bullet box. And I am not advocating that. I am advocating that we stay and stand on the system that our founders had established over almost 250 years ago. So today what I'd like to do is cover an article that the Gateway Pundit published this week titled 2022 Midterm Action List. You can go out to the Gateway Pundit and find it. Seven steps you can take to save our elections from fraud. Yes, folks, we still have a chance at the ballot box. We need to overwhelm the system with votes for America First candidates. And this isn't about Democrat and Republican. Now, a lot of them are on the Republican ticket. So it's if you don't have the information, you're going to be further ahead just voting Republican right now than you would if you have to research it. But I'm saying 99% of them are in the Republican Party. So anyways, they talk about these critical requirements while the election's active. So, you know, we've seen what the left did in the last election in 2020. They launched all these lawsuits in the final week to decide. And then that's not the way you do this. It's supposed to be done through the legislature. So this was a tactic. And they were able to use this tactic to change registration deadlines, add ballot boxes, and so many other things that were not legal. Now, some of these cases were heard in as little as 2 days. So we can use the same tactic. We can focus lawsuits in areas that have the most impact while the election's active. Now, these areas that will solve this, these past instances of fraud fall into a couple areas. One is the demand that the GOP observers can be stationed in the major ballot transfer locations. And this includes United States Postal Service regional centers, tabulation centers, and the loading docks at these centers, and so on. Now, remember, there has to be a chain of custody maintained on these ballots. So if you're one of those observers and you're going to be coached on this, you need to hook up with some of these groups, and I'll get you some of that information before we wrap this up. And then you need to make certain that the chain of custody on these documents that are coming into these tabulation centers has been maintained. And then the total count of what arrives or departs must be provided to the observers so this can all be cross-checked. The major ballot transfer centers. And then we need to demand that this term, total ballots cast, be provided on election night. Now, it's important to know the total of all voters and all votes cast, even if they're not counted, because then they can't add any more ballots if they're short. And remember, our goal is to overwhelm the system. And then all these social distancing rules need to be eliminated, like the six-foot scam. That's been proven to be nothing but control. And you need to make certain that you can get up there close and observe in all areas of tabulation what's actually happening. And then demand all delivery vehicles that move these ballots are equipped, even rental trucks, with temporary GPS tracking. And, you know, you can even rent those things at the rental services. And each county is going to have its own unique issues. So ask questions and then reach out and make certain that you have your questions satisfied. And there are support groups out there. Now, I'm just going to go through the last seven very quickly here. So the second suggestion on the Gateway Pundit article is ballot printing and qualified voter files known as totals. So you need to understand that. And then there's this whole strategy at the tabulation centers that they talk about, six items under that. And then item number four, emergency and satellite poll locations. It's really important to have eyeballs on these locations too, folks, because we have to make certain they don't have any of these bulk ballot deliveries. And then number five, you have to look at what are known as the UAA ballots. Keep an eye on that. Those are the undeliverable as addressed ballots. Now, these are authentic blank ballots that have been returned to the jurisdiction, and there's huge numbers of these, and they seem to disappear, and then you have to ask yourself, well, what happens to them? You know, just 200 of these UAAs can be as worth as much as $4,000 to some of the people trying to scam the election, so you got to keep a close eye on this. Then number six, these are some questions you can ask your county right now. And I'll just list these five things. Are there any real-time type data feeds available for analytics? What do you do with the undeliverable as-addressed ballots, the UAAs? What is your plan for dealing with these UAA ballots? And how do you flag UAA ballots? And in what type of time frame does this occur? And then finally, can you provide the United States Postal Service daily report that lists the number of ballots that they processed and returned to you? These are very important checks and balances, folks, that we the people can do. We can be involved in this. And then finally, we need to have incident checklists. And these are checklists that are specific to the polling places, the voter experience, and the machine testing. We need to make certain that all these things are abiding by the law. And we can do all of this. And there's lots of information out there on this. And I'm suggesting that you get involved. Take a stand. People, we need to take a stand. And we can use another legal strategy referred to as a TRO. It's a temporary restraining order that can stop some of these things or force other things to happen. For example, ballot images need to be counted by the software. Image, not what's on it. You need to get a count. And then you can go in and visually validate that. So they need to be recording the ballot images. You know, when you put your ballot, your paper ballot into those Smartmatic machines, it scans it, but what it's doing is it's pulling off your vote. It's not looking at the image. So we need to have an image scan count and then an actual image retention, and those machines are capable of that. And then when you go in to do an audit, you can match the count to the actual vote on the image. And until we can get back to paper ballots, this is the best we can do. But we can use the legal system to force these things during the election. So get involved. Audit Elections USA is a site you can go to, and they have a lot of this information there. Or just get started out there on the Gateway Pundit. Folks, I'm telling you, the goal of all this in the end is paper ballots, no counting machines, and the ballots need to be counted on television. And I'd even go as far to say with National Guard present. We the people need to take a stand. And then the votes cast after Election Day should not be counted. And all ballots must be correctly filled out, and all ballots must be from valid voters, not illegal immigrants, people that haven't been naturalized as citizens, and there should be voter ID. Folks, you need voter ID to rent a car. And then furthermore, all the signatures on these ballots need to be validated. They need to be verified. You know, in some of the third world countries, they even dip people's thumbs in permanent purple ink. They can only vote once. What's wrong with that? These third world countries can count all their paper ballots and have the tallies in by 8 p.m. on Election Day, yet the United States can't do it. You think maybe there's some baloney here? You know, it's strange that we used to be able to hand count until fairly recently, and then we had to get to computers. Now, for some reason, people seem to think that we can't do it with paper, but the truth is we can. And we must if we want to get back to fair and honest elections. And folks, who doesn't want to have a fair and honest election? People who aren't fair and honest. So what we have to do, folks, is continue to push for this. And if we overwhelm the system, they are not going to be able to cheat. So we have to do this. And I'm telling you, with all sincerity, this is much, much better than turning to violence, because that won't end well. Let's keep moving.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Okay, now I have this clip, and it's really, it's a libtard, and you have to listen to this. So this libtard who's out there as a social media influencer, she gets, traumatized is a good way. She was doing this little clip after she was traumatized in one of those unisex changing rooms, and I apologize, folks, but I am ill-prepared today. Let me see if I can find this one. It is titled Traumatized Lib. Let's see if we call it up there. Traumatized. Boy, this is really strange. A couple of my clips aren't coming up. Tom McDonald didn't come up. Traumatized Lib, who supports unisex changing rooms, but not for her. It didn't come up either. I don't know what happened, folks. I told you I'm being throttled. I told you that, after I spoke out about the election fraud, I lost 90% of my Twitter followers. And I wonder if some of these clips aren't coming up. That's just an idea, though. But I'll just share with you my thoughts on this, and maybe we could play this one later. I have it here on my screen, but it will not play. Boy, it was a good one, too. You see, traumatized liberal support. I'll try it one more time. Just give me one second here. I-Z-E-D. Not coming up, folks. Anyways, it was an example, a perfect example of how the lib programmers think. You know, these are the people that say, no guns for anyone except for my security detail. No building walls, except around my gated neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, illegal immigrants are welcome, except where I live. You know what happened up there in Martha's Vineyard and other places. Did you hear what the mayor of New York is saying? This is a crisis. This is unsustainable. Oh, but you think the towns in Texas and Arizona and California, they can manage this any better than you? What's different about them? This is the lib hypocrisy, folks. You know, people want to welcome them everywhere. They want to welcome the trans into the bathrooms and the changing rooms, except where they are. We must reduce our carbon footprint, except for my 10,000 square foot home and my three private jets. They don't count. You know, I'm telling you, their policies are hypocritical and they're meant for others, but not for themselves. And this is the fatal flaw in all the liberal thought process. Virtue signaling is BS, folks. I'm telling you, it looks really good on paper, but when you reduce it to practice, it's nothing but rubbish. Take socialism and this whole push for communism, and you know they're really inextricably linked. They truly are. And this mantra says that everybody's equal. Now, let's face it. At face value, that sounds pretty good. But it's really bad. Ask yourself, what could go wrong with that? Well, remember what George Orwell warned us about in Animal Farm? Yes, we're all equal, but some of us, the pigs in Animal Farm, are more equal than others. And how about that whole thought, that horrible thought that the state's going to take care of everything for you? Just trust us. We're from the government. You know, at face value, that may sound a lot easier. You know, just abdicate all of your responsibilities. To do is give up a little freedom, and then they're going to take care of you. But do you honestly think anybody can take better care of yourself or you than yourself? You really think that, folks? Now, you remember that song John Lennon sang, Imagine? Imagine no religion. It's easy if you try. Imagine no possessions. What a crock of pipe dreams, folks. That's nothing. That's nothing but hopium. That's nothing but absurdium. But I put this in the Hopium Report because I'm starting to think the libtards are waking up, like this girl in this clip I couldn't play. You know, they're subjecting our children to all these asinine ideas. You know, did you hear about the mom who went to an obscene outfit that one of those drag queens wore at a school function where her son and daughter, I believe, had to be subjected to that? I'm hoping the lefties are having their eyes opened. You know, their wokeism is destroying the world. And I'd love to see these sorts of stories aired all over the mainstream media and the internet, but we won't. And that's why I put this in the Hopium Report. But right now, it's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Folks, I had a clip here I wanted to play for you. It was Governor Newsom signing a law allowing California to assert custody over out-of-state children for gender transitions. This was from LifeSite News, and I had the clip queued up, and I wanted to cover the story on the clip. And folks, the reason I play a lot of these clips is this is a one-man operation here, and this gives me time to queue up the next clip. And the clip that follows and get my notes prepared, and I don't have it. But really, this was a law that's literally endangering every young person in the nation who experiences what's been around for generations, and it's known as gender dysphoria. And this is coming, like I said, from LifeSite News. So this new law is basically going to take the children of out-of-state people who could be in California for just about any reason, vacation to visiting to maybe looking for, parents are looking for a new job. And if that child expresses to an authority that they're confused about their gender, the parents can lose custody of their children. They don't support this lunacy. Now, you know, E.S. Lewis wrote about the real meaning of gender in his space trilogy, and he said it better than anyone has I've ever heard. I've mentioned this before, but I'd like to just go through this quote. And C.S. Lewis said, "Now I suppose with all this deliberate gender confusion in our culture today, most have probably wondered why in nearly all languages certain inanimate objects are masculine and others feminine. Think about it. What's masculine about a mountain or feminine about a certain tree? Well, reason," and that was Ransom in the quote, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this because unless you read the trilogy, you wouldn't understand this, so I'm kind of paraphrasing it. But reason has cured me of believing that this is a purely morphological phenomenon depending upon the form of the word, and even less is gender an imaginative extension of sex. Contrary, our ancestors did not make mountains masculine because they projected male characteristics into them. The real process is the reverse. Gender is reality. Did you hear what C.S. Lewis said, folks? Gender is reality. And what are they destroying now? Any concept, any basis of reasonableness in gender. They're creating this gender fluidity. Why? Because they want to destroy reality. And let me continue. Well, let me repeat before I continue. Gender is reality. And a more fundamental reality than sex. Sex is, in fact, merely the organic adaptation of organic life of a fundamental polarity which divides all created beings. Female sex is simply one of the things that have feminine gender. There are many others. And masculine and feminine meet us on planes of reality where male and female would be simply meaningless. Masculine is not attenuated male, nor feminine attenuated female. On the contrary, the male and the female of organic creatures are rather faint and blurred reflections of masculine and feminine. Folks, do you see what's happening here? Their reproductive functions, C.S. Lewis says, their differences in strength and size partly exhibit but also partly confuse and misrepresent the real polarity. And may I add, the real polarity is gender, the feminine and the masculine. And that's the truth, folks. Chew on that for a bit. But I'm telling you, that's the truth of the matter. And that's why we have all of this going on right now. This is so sick, folks. This is beyond anything that I could have dreamt. And we're living it right now. Can you even imagine how fast this is all happening? You know, folks, I could go on and on about this, but we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, you know, I talked last week about things that God has been kind of putting in my path, and both challenges and comforts. And he talks to us in many ways. You know, it's that still small voice. It's usually not in the thunder. It's not in the wind. It's in these little small things that you can see or hear. You know, I'll be in the grocery store a lot of times, and I'll get this inkling, pick up that sugar substitute Terry's into all the different things like allulose now and stevia, because we're trying to live healthy lives with low carb and low glycemic impact. So I'm always picking up these alternatives to white flour and sugar as Terry makes us our meals. So anyways, I'll get this little inkling in my mind to pick it up, and then I'll get home, and Terry said, oh, I'm out of allulose, or oh, I'm out of stevia. And here I had that little still small voice. And folks, I believe that's God and him talking to us. And if you can hear that, and then if you act upon it, I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. Well, last week we talked about the movie Running the Bases and how it's bigger than baseball. And in my case, the whole situation I'm in, and I've shared it with you over the years, it's bigger than fiberglass, and it's bigger than me. And I'm telling you, you've got similar stories, different circumstances in your life. It's bigger than you, bigger than maybe your son and daughter-in-law's problem. It's bigger than your job. It's bigger than whatever you think it may be. Remember, we played this little clip.
Bigger than baseball.
Right?
It's bigger than you.
It is. It's bigger than whatever you think it may be. And folks, you ain't the main character in this story. God is. So last Saturday, Terry and I watched this amazing movie called Father Stew. And I was blown away by it. I didn't really want to watch it. I felt like putting an action movie on. But this is a story about this guy who was a boxer. And he was told by his doctor that if he continued to box, he could die. So he wanted to go out to Hollywood and become an actor. And while out in Hollywood, he fell in love with a Catholic girl who said, I can't date you unless you convert and get baptized into the faith. Now, I'm not going to get into the issues with Catholicism. This is a story, a true story. Just listen to the trailer to this movie.
I figured it out.
Seventh time's a charm.
I'm being active.
You don't belong with those L.A. folks. They're a bunch of fascist hippies.
Who do you think you're going to be, the next John Wayne?
Get yourself a marvelous mop.
What can I get for you, miss? I got beef.
Let's not waste either of our time. I'm a Catholic. I can't date someone who isn't baptized.
Where's the water? I'll do it now.
You're getting into the fine print on this way of living, pal. Well, you got a long road ahead.
Comes around.
God is all about defying the odds.
It's up to you to decide what you've got to offer.
This is the place you told me you believe in me.
Your son is about to make a huge mistake.
Well, I'm going to be a priest.
For Halloween.
Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers.
Man don't lose when he gets knocked down, but when he won't get up. Father Stew.
Can't say I never gave you nothing.
Yeah, I skipped over thanking you. Went straight to the source.
Exclusively at cinemas May 13.
So we watched that movie, and I'm going to be honest with you. At the end of it, I had tears in my eyes in there that just captivate you. And I'm going to play one of them a little bit later in my thoughts here. But then on Sunday, my mom and I, we read the Daily Bread every day. And I've shared with you, my mother had a hemorrhagic stroke it's coming up on 5 years ago at the end of this month. And not only did she survive it, and not only did she regain her mobility, and not only did she regain her reading, but she has lived for 5 years now with a fairly decent quality of life, praise the Lord. And the Lord has used this experience to touch me. Remember, it's bigger than fiberglass. It's bigger than me. So on Sunday, we were reading the Daily Bread, and the title was God's Gentle Grace. This was the Daily Bread for October 2nd, 2022. And it was focusing on Ephesians chapter 4. Excuse me, folks. I had a cough. Anyways, the quote was, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, they open in this Daily Bread reflection with this quote from the poet Emily Dickinson, who wrote, now she's suggesting that God's truth and glory are far too bright for mere humans to understand or receive all at once. It's like trying to drink from a water hose, you know? So it's best for us to receive and share God's grace and truth in slant. And by that, she means gentle, indirect ways. And then she continues, for the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man will be blind. And isn't that the truth, folks? You know, the Apostle Paul, he made a similar argument in Ephesians 4 when he urged believers to be completely humble and gentle and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, the foundation for our gentleness as believers and our grace with each other is Christ. Gracious ways working in us and through us. And Paul explains that. And his incarnation is key to this whole thing, and that's in verses 9 and 10 of Ephesians chapter 4. Here, Jesus revealed himself in quiet and gentle ways. And people need to understand that, and we need to trust that to receive it. Continues to reveal himself by gifting and empowering the believer in ways that'll help them to continue to grow and mature and communicate these truths with others. So that, and why? That's the question. And it's told to us by Paul in verses 12 and 13. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So that would be a spiritual Christian. I'm going to talk more about that at the end of the show. But folks, as we grow, we become less vulnerable, and we stop looking elsewhere for hope, and we become more confident in following Jesus' example of what Paul refers to as gentle love. So that's why I'm saying it's bigger than fiberglass. It's bigger than me. That's why in that movie, Running the Bases, it was bigger than that coach's baseball. It's bigger than him. That's why it was bigger than this man named Stu, who was a boxer turned priest. It's bigger than boxing, folks. It's even bigger than the priesthood. It's about him. It's all about him, Jesus Christ. So when I read all of this in the Daily Bread with my mom last Sunday, it reminded me of this scene that I'd like to play for you now, and I have to set it up for you. So here's Father Stu. He's the unlikely seminarian. He's a guy that was a rough and tumble, outgoing, charismatic guy. He was a boxer. You know, he was a real smart guy, but he talked with that street language. And when he started attending the church where the girl that he fell in love with was attending, he met the seminarian there who ultimately became his roommate in seminary. Now, he was the stiff and he was the staunch believer whose parents wanted him to be a priest since he was like 5 years old, but he never really had his heart in it. So they're making a prison visit now, and the first person you're going to hear speaking is Stu's roommate. And then Stu jumps in, prisoners. And I think this is what the daily devotional was talking about last Sunday, but just have a listen.
It's our mission to enter the darkest places and to be the light of Christ.
Dark? So we black, bad, or both?
A metaphor.
You gonna use big words like that, you might as well pass out dictionaries, bro.
What you guys get, one phone call a week in here?
Kiss the right ass.
Who you gonna call, huh? Your mom?
You gonna break a heart some more? Your wife? Well, shit, let's be real. She probably busy banging a new man. Your kid? Well, he probably gonna get more pity in school if his daddy was dead. You don't need no phone to talk to God. You don't need the guard's permission either. When no one else gives a shit what you got to say, God does. Because he made your ass. Now, you damn right he's disappointed in it. But he wants to help. No matter how hard you resist it, no matter how many times you say no, he still wants to make you better. He ain't giving up on you. Never. Don't you dare go giving up on yourself. You want to try again?
Now, folks, I thought that was such a powerful example of how we need to reduce to practice what the Lord puts on our heart concerning the Word of God. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, Paul's establishing who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. And then from chapter 4 on, he switches to how in this new life in Jesus we can live it out. So I hope you go out and read Ephesians this week, and you'll see that he leads with humility. Now, that's a trait that runs counter to the values of the culture, both then and now. And let's be honest, okay? We all tend to be proud in one way or another. You know, I get puffed up on knowledge, and I have to always ask the Lord to humble me. And you may have your own story, whatever it is. So that's the first step, humility. And then Paul emphasizes unity. So let's call it this gentle humility that's vital for unity. And it's really interesting when you think about it, but Paul was a prisoner when he wrote this. So I think that makes it pretty significant in verse 8. He quotes a psalm that twice mentions prisoners, and that's Psalm 68, and you see it in verses 6 and 18. Well, you know what? I can keep talking about this, but enough said. I just wanted to share that with you, and I want to encourage you to listen. Listen, and you're going to hear the Lord speak to you in ways that are quite amazing. You know, it might be a movie, it might be a friend. I've even had God talk to me through my dogs and their behavior and how upset I get when they don't do things that I want them to do. Not because I'm trying to be a control freak, but because I don't want them to get hurt. And a lot of times I think that's what God's saying to you and me. I don't want you to get hurt, so don't do that. But anyways, we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for Back to the Future, where we bring something from the past . Okay, so now it's time to wind the clock back to the 1780s. Now, what's special about the 1780s? Well, that's the decade the Constitution of the United States was created, presented, ratified, and effected. Now, it was created on September 17th, 1787. It was presented, and that means presented to the states, on September 28th, 1787. And then it was ratified the following year on June 21st, 1788. And that means that they had the individual states vote in their legislatures concerning the matter and then return it back to the Congress of the United States. And then this particular document, the Constitution, became effective on March 4th, 1789. And that's how long it took to do all of this. So just remember that. This is the process that established the Constitution. It's we, the people of these individual states, vesting power to this entity known as the federal government in Washington, D.C.
So it was vested in Congress by we the people. And in that document was the power to tax. And we the people gave Congress two methods to tax, directly and indirectly. Now, direct taxes are taxes that involve an excise or a duty on the import of a product or the sale of a product. And that's pretty clear. Now, the other, I'm sorry, that's an indirect tax. I think I may have said direct. My notes are all garbled here. There's actually a blank space in my notes, so I'm doing this all by memory. But that's an indirect tax. Now, a direct tax needs to be apportioned. And this is where the problem comes. You cannot current income tax system in an apportioned basis. It doesn't work. Now, there's been a lot of discussion in legalese beyond anything that you could ever imagine. But this has been something that kept the United States government from trying to impose an income tax all the way up to 1913, when they got into some funny business with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, which we've talked about here in the past, and the 16th Amendment. And don't even get me started on the 17th Amendment, folks. The 16th Amendment established Congress's right to wage or levy an income tax. And at the time, it was only 4% on the wealthiest people. And isn't that how it always starts? And then the camel, after it has its nose under the tent, before you know it, you've got the camel sleeping with you in the tent, and you're getting all the sand fleas and everything else that the camel carries with it. Well, we see that in the government right now, too, folks. This whole passage of the 16th Amendment, and the 17th Amendment actually took the selection of the senators away from the states and democratized it. Remember, we're not a democracy, we're a republic, and there was a check and balance. The Senate was the representatives of the state. The House of Representatives were the representatives of we the people. And that's the way it was until they changed it. And this was all part of this plan to move the United States to the precipice of the New World Order. And it's a transgenerational type of effect. These people play the long game, folks. They're not looking at the next election. They're not looking at the next fiscal year. They're looking 10, 20, 50, 100 years out. This is a globalist plan that goes all the way back to the days of Cain and the building of the Tower of Babel in Babylon. It's why God sent the flood to destroy creation and rebuild it with Noah, promised the rainbow never to destroy it again. All of this ties together, folks. So in the 1980s, this man came along. His name was Benson, and he wrote The Law That Never Was. And there's actually a CPA out there, Harold Littlejohn, who must have read it. And I just want to read a little bit of what Mr. Littlejohn wrote. He says, my studies of constitutional law included the rule that in order to amend the Constitution, it would take a legitimate, proper vote of three-fourths of all the states ratifying the amendment. Now, this is in particular focusing on the 16th Amendment, which gave Congress the right to levy income taxes. So it had to be ratified by three-fourths of all the states properly, exactly as written. Now, that sounds logical and straightforward, right? But regarding one of the least popular amendments, least popular amongst the people, that is, the bureaucrats love it. Good old number 16, the income tax amendment. There's an amazing book by a man named Bill Benson called The Law That Never Was, and I have it here, folks. And it is. He details the ratification process or the lack of a legal and lawful ratification process. Just like the Federal Reserve Act was passed in the dark of the night with most of Congress out, this 16th Amendment was never legally and lawfully ratified, just like the 2020 election was never legally and lawfully certified. So they've been up to these sorts of shenanigans for generations, folks. So he continues, this is Harold Littlejohn, the CPA. I have a Wikipedia link for more basic information, but as usual, Wikipedia is edited by the same people who run everything else in the information world. So please read their arguments with a jaundiced eye. Littlejohn continues, I believe Benson actually got all certified copies from all then 48 states Capitals at the time and sent a complete certified giant copy file to every senator, representative, and federal judge in the land. And as usual, he gets pictured as the crackpot by Wikipedia, just like Miles did at the beginning when I was talking about the Unabomber. But I, for one, while it is still legal to have an alternative opinion from Wikipedia, Google, and the like, choose to believe that what I have read and that the entire basis for the income tax was never passed legitimately. Now, remember, this is a CPA in good standing who's writing this. And then he continues and said, I, of course, will keep filing my taxes and my clients' taxes according to the, quote, law, such that it is. But I can still voice my opinion that the 16th Amendment is likely and truly the law that never was. And you know the truth, folks? It never was. This income tax is all foisted upon us illegally and unlawfully. So how do we apply that to today's freaky deaky news update? How do we tie it in? Well, you remember what we talked about with Dan Bongino? Dan Bongino right now. Control the money, control the world. We played that clip, okay? And I have another one here of his guest. I'm calling that up right now. Dan Bongino. I have to spell it right. Her name's Leila Halpern. Leila Halpern. So let's get that up right. L-A. Y-A-H. Okay, so this is a short clip of Leila giving a little bit more information on the central bank digital currency. It's a minute and a half, and I cannot stress enough, folks, that the love of money is the root of all evil. So just listen to Leila give us a little bit more information on the central bank digital currency.
Because it is digital, it means the money can be programmed to be spent in any way in which the central bank or the government decides. So one of my particular concerns is the World Economic Forum, because they're talking about implementing a carbon allowance. Now, this means each individual will be given a certain amount of, whether it's credit or whatever it is, carbon that they are allowed to emit. And how do they implement that? Through a central bank digital currency. So if I buy too many plane tickets, or if I buy too much meat because those things are all supposedly very bad for the environment, my money when I go to fill up my car could then be declined. So now they're literally controlling what we can and can't do with our money. It's also important to realize that the money can expire. So during times of economic uncertainty, central banks love to print lots and lots of money, which causes inflation. But we could get to a point where they say, instead of printing money, you have to spend at least 10% of your savings in the next 3 months. If you don't spend that money in the next 3 months, then that money is going to expire. And if you can't save money, well, then you can't build long-lasting generational wealth. You're always going to be a slave to the system. And, you know, I don't think people really understand the severity of this. Money is literally the energy which fuels your life. If you don't have freedom of money, you don't have freedom of anything. You know, Dan, I know you talk about the Second Amendment. You know, if they don't need to necessarily get rid of the Second Amendment, but they can just say they can program your money so that you can't actually go and buy a gun. So, again, it really is the most tyrannical form of surveillance we will ever see. When they control the money, they control the world.
Did you hear that last line, folks? When they control the money, they control the world. And that is the truth, folks. That is the truth. It's glaring us like high-beam headlights in your face. Sitting there glaring, screaming to us that when you control the money, you control the world. And that is the truth. Can't say it any clearer than that. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And they're doing this right now, folks. They are doing it. They're doing it to you and me as we speak right now. They are controlling us through our money. You know, we're losing about 2% of our purchasing power every month in all of our ability to purchase. So the money that you received for your wages, for your labor, for the sweat of your brow is being stolen from you at a rate of 2% or more per month right now. And it's going to get worse. And I can't make it any clearer, folks. We need to wake up. And if we don't wake up, things are going to happen. We're going to wake up one day and see that we're all on this feudal state, you know, this feudal prison system. And I had a clip here, and I do not know what's happening right now, but my clips are not loading. And as I was talking there, I loaded the clip again because I wanted to play it. But I'm not going to get to play it. This isn't going to play, folks. And what is that, five clips, four clips today so far? This is another way that I think I'm being throttled as I try to share truth with you. But let's just continue, okay? So I talked about humility, and I talked about unity when I was sharing the thing that happened to me from Ken's Corner with the movie Father Stu. And I think it's really important that we do walk humbly concerning all this stuff I'm talking about. I do believe that we need to stand in unity. So there's this saying I love. Unity in the majors, liberality in the minors, and in all things, charity. So in other words, folks, we're not going to get it all right. So if there's an issue you don't agree with me on, give me a pass. If it's a minor, if it's, you know, something that really doesn't affect the outcome. But on the majors, morality, ethics, right and wrong, fair money, fair elections, truth versus lies, on those things, we all must be in unity. And then I'm going to continue to preach that if you want to have a healthy body, you have to have a happy soul. And to have a happy soul, you must be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit through your spirit. So your spirit in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, so it can shed light to your mind, will, and emotions, which are your soul. And when your soul's in communion with the Spirit, you have a happy soul. And a happy soul can lead to a healthy body. So I'm going to open up this final segment with a question, just like I opened the show with. What type of person are you? Are you a natural person? Are you a spiritual person? Or are you a carnal person? As the song goes, are you a natural woman? And may I add, a natural man. And by the way, folks, this is where I wanted to add the little clip, you know, from the song. But it isn't going to happen because it's not up there. So let's continue. Now, at first glance, I'm telling you, it might sound good to be, oh, I eat natural food. I practice natural health. You know, I take natural supplements. So at face value, it sounds good to be a natural man. It sounds good to be a natural woman. But that implies that you're one born into the natural world, blind to the spiritual, and bound by the material realm. And remember, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And remember, we need to be humble and walking in unity and not bound by the chains that this world tries to imprison us in. So if that's you, a natural man or a natural woman, I'm warning you, it's sad. And the reason it's sad, because if you're a natural man or a natural woman, you simply cannot know God. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't say that. God did. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So, folks, I'm going to tell you a truth here. And that truth is that society divides people into classes, the upper, the middle, and the lower. But our Bible, which I like to say are basic instructions before leaving earth, show us clearly that there are three types of people, the natural and the spiritual. Now, what I'd like to do is just walk you through this information that I learned many years ago from my Bible teacher, Pastor Adrian Rogers, on how we can look at the marks, three marks that are found on every spiritual person. And we're probably not going to get to that till next week. But these three marks are essential for growth in Christ. Because growth in Christ isn't just an after effect of getting saved. Growth in Christ is an effort. Just like an athlete trains to be a marathon runner, well, you have to train to grow in Christ. It's something that has to be actively pursued, and you have to be aware that there are eternal consequences to this choice. this practice, this exercise, this race we're running. And there are consequences all the way to heaven. We're not all equal in heaven, folks. There are some stars that are brighter than others. And remember, all the stars and all the planets and all the moons, they simply reflect the glory of the sun. And in this case, the sun is Jesus Christ. So I hope as we embark upon this, that it's going to help us grow in spiritual maturity. First, by helping us learn where we are right now, each of us, you, me, even your non-believing friends and family. And when we know where we are, that'll help us get to where we need to be. Because unless you know where you are right now, a roadmap's not going to do you any good. Amen? So the point is that we all truly need to be striving in this one area. We do. Especially in these crazy times we're living in right now. And that's because the basics of the faith, once delivered unto the saints, you know, the faith, I always talk about it's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's your ability to put your arms up as someone that's holding a gun to your back and saying, forsaking all, I trust him. And that him is Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's not being focused on in most of the churches today. But these points are very important and useful to all Christians, new and mature alike. So let's look at the three classes of man right now. And then next week we'll probably wrap this up because I don't think I'm going to have enough time to get through all of this today. So first of all, we have the natural man, and that's what St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter, what is it, 4, chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And then number 2, we have the spiritual man in verse where he says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And then finally, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, St. Paul says, or refers to those individuals out there that were born again but have turned back to the flesh, and they're the carnal people. And he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So those are the three classifications of everyone who has ever lived on this earth, natural, spiritual, and carnal. And that's how we're all classified, man, woman, and child alike. Now, like I said, society may divide us into material status. Society may divide us by race, but there's really only two races, the saved and the unsaved. The Bible only classifies us with regard to our spiritual standing. And why? Because that's the only classification that truly endures for all eternity. No matter how much money you have, folks, no matter what the color of your skin was, no matter what your education was, all of that will not matter on the other side of eternity. What matters is your standing with Christ in terms of these spiritual matters. So it's necessary for us to get to where we need to go by first understanding where we are. You know, the first question God asked Adam was, Adam, where are you? Now, God didn't need to ask Adam where he was. God knew where Adam was. Not only did he know where Adam was physically, but he also knew where Adam was spiritually. You know, when Adam sinned, his spirit died immediately, which means the light shut off, and there was no longer illumination from the oil of the Holy Spirit lighting his lamp, which was his spirit, giving light to his mind, will, and emotion. So now Adam and all of his offspring were in the dark. So we have to ask ourselves some questions. And there are three questions we need to ask. And I can do a whole teaching on that other thing I just talked about. So quickly, Adam died immediately in the spirit, progressively in the soul, and ultimately in the body. And you can see that if you study the early chapters of Genesis 6. And no, we're not all made in the image of God. The Bible says we were made in the image of Adam. And what's the image of Adam? Dead to sin. So we all are not made in the image of God, only those who are born again. When our lamps are lit, after our lamps are filled with the Holy Spirit, and God ignites that wick. But I'm getting on another topic. Well, I'll stay focused here, okay? So we have to ask ourselves these three questions. Am I a natural man or a natural woman? Doing what comes naturally by nature? And like I said when I opened, this may sound good at first thought, but remember what St. Paul wrote about it. And he also emphasized it over in Ephesians that we talked about in Ken's Corner. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. It reads, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So by our very nature, folks, we're children of wrath. And there are three marks of these natural men and women that we all were before we got born again. First, we're born into the natural world. Now, one of the past vice presidents heard the U.S. president at the time, and I don't want to mention names, say that the president was twice born. What's that mean? And then he openly and publicly said, and I'm quoting him right now, I count myself lucky to have been born once. I certainly have not been born twice. And that's just a mark of a natural man. They're clueless to these spiritual matters. They don't want to understand what it means to be born again, like Nicodemus in John chapter 3. When he was talking to Jesus in the dark of the night, Nicodemus didn't understand. And what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? Well, you need to be born again. Now, I can't believe the vice president said that, because there's a day coming when he's going to regret not being twice born. He is. That's the truth. And that's because if you're born once, you got to die twice. First, with physical death, okay? And then secondly, spiritual death, an eternal death. And you know, hell wasn't provided or I should say made for man. It was made for the fallen angel Lucifer and his minion. But if you refuse this truth that I'm sharing with you, if you refuse the good news that so many people share concerning the gospel, you're gonna face this second death. So the question I'm gonna ask you is, have you been born twice? Or you like that vice president, spiritually blind to all of this? You know, the problem is that what we receive by our first birth is those natural things found in the natural world. Think about an apple with a wormhole in it, okay? Don't worry about the worm having come in through that hole, because he didn't come in through that hole. He went out through that hole. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, that wormhole didn't let the worm in. It let the worm out. How did that worm get into the apple in the first place? Well, a seed was planted back when there was just a blossom on that tree. And then he was hatched inside that developing apple, and he ate his way out. And that's like the wickedness the natural man and the natural woman has in them. We were born with it. There was an egg laid in the blossom of our very being, in the womb of our mother. And that was the original sin. That was the destitute nature of man. That was how we inherited the curse from Adam. And then that worm comes out of the heart of the apple. You know, Jesus said, you know, out of the heart comes the issues of life. Out of the heart comes the issues of man. And what's in us? Nothing good until we're reborn. So the worm came out of the heart of the apple, and then you see the hole. And Jesus says that all sins that are in mankind comes out of our heart. So all those cute little babies you see, you know, in the videos, and when your family celebrates the birth of another family member, or maybe you and your wife have a baby, all those babies' hearts are full of lies and selfishness and hatred. Yes, each and every one of those precious little babies. Think about it for a minute. You never have to teach a baby to steal. You have to teach a baby not to steal. You never have to teach a baby how to be selfish. They're selfish by nature. You have to teach a baby not to be selfish. You have to teach a baby to share their toys. You never have to teach a baby to tell lies. Tell lies all the time. You have to teach your child not to lie. Isn't that true? The Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray, speaking lies as soon as they're born. That's the natural man. That's the way we're born in the womb. Now, if you look at all the good in the natural world, take all the good that all these natural people did from the beginning of time till now and into the future, billions and billions of people, and distill all that good into one man, guess what? There's still not enough good in all the goodness of all natural men and women that ever lived to save one soul. That one individual with all that good condensed into them would still have to bow at the cross and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's the truth. The Bible says that in our nature, there is nothing good. You know, by nature, we're the children of wrath. That's what Paul said in Ephesians. The natural man's born into the natural world, and therefore he's blind to the spiritual realm. In verse 14 out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read it again. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, that word receive literally means to welcome. So you're not going to welcome any of this that I'm sharing with you unless you're born again, or unless the grace of God is moving upon you to receive it, and he's going to help you understand it. So by nature, we're not going to welcome these things, and we're certainly not going to understand them, because they can only be understood spiritually. Now, you can put a natural man in a modern contemporary worship service, and that's found in many of these churches today. That was like the Pittsburgh East that Terry and I used to go to. It's now called Amplify. And there are things there that's going to really trigger, or not trigger is not the right word, it's going to resonate with the natural man. And the natural man can even appreciate it. Even if he doesn't know Jesus, he can appreciate the contemporary music and all of the Jesus hugs that people are given. So there's good music, there's great melody, there's that thumping rhythm, there's the lights and the machines, and then there's the coffee, you know, after the service, and the donuts. Oh, look out. And then how about those VIP teams and the greeters that give you the handshakes and, like I said, the Jesus hugs? And you're going to leave there and you're going to say, that place was great. The people are so friendly. And I loved that coffee shop and those donuts from Oakmont Bakery. Oh, they were so good. So even a natural man can enjoy those things and the eye-catching audio and visuals, you know, with all those big sound and light systems. That's going to catch his attention. And he's going to say, well, that makes sense. But he's only doing it on a soulish level. It's stirring his soul. And Watchman Nee wrote a book called The Latent Power of the Soul. You've got to be careful for that, because that could lead you to a false salvation, and I've talked about that. So I can understand when I hear a natural man or a natural woman said they love the church service. And the natural man will even get involved in supporting some of the efforts there, like extending the kids' stuff ministry or building a library in Uganda. But that's all the natural man can understand. He doesn't understand those things of the Spirit of God. He's been stirred emotionally and intellectually, but he doesn't understand it in his spirit. His spirit hasn't been stirred. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul wrote, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. And then in chapter 14 of chapter 3, it reads, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. So when these natural people in these services, these seeker-sensitive services, hear us say things like, hallelujah, praise the Lamb, Jesus died for our sins, or behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, he just simply doesn't understand it. He just stands there and says, what? And that's because he's born to the natural but blind to the spiritual. And he's not enjoying the true things of God. He doesn't understand them. But he can truly enjoy it when he gets saved. And that's the important thing. So folks, I'm looking at the time right now, and I'm going to try to get through this. But what I'd like to do at this point is I'd like to play a second clip I queued up from the movie Father Stu. And this is the first sermon that he gave. Oh, you know what? That one doesn't look like that one. Can you believe it? That one didn't load either. Maybe I can get it. Let's see if I can put it up real quick. Nope, it didn't load. This was an excellent one. It was Father Stu delivering his first sermon. So that one didn't load either. Stu delivers. Oh, folks, I checked all these last night, and every single one of these clips was up there. Continue here. So you need to be born in the Spirit to be able to see these truths that I'm trying to share with you. And Father Stu did such a good job talking about it. I might play it next week. In fact, some of these clips were so good, they would have really amplified the points I was trying to make in this podcast today. But anyways, let's get back on track here. Just think about this. All eternity in heaven with the redeemed is going to be you and me going around praising the Lord, doing his good work, and recognizing that Jesus died for our sins, and that's why we got there. But if you're not spiritually born, this is going to sound like rubbish to you. You're going to be bored. You wouldn't want to be there. You know, the natural man sometimes gets bored on a rainy day. Folks, I just cringe when I hear people say they had some time to kill. No, you redeem your time. And if you're a spirit man, if you're a spirit woman, you need to understand that the Lord gave you this precious time to redeem, not to waste, not to kill. Yet the natural man has no appreciation or understanding for the sanctity of life and the sanctity of time. And then from verse 14, again, I'm going to emphasize, Paul wrote, neither can he know them. So he can't figure it out. He never will until the Holy Spirit of God moves upon him and helps him understand this. So never think you can learn the Bible by your intellect. You can't. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So that's why I'm so concerned, and I've talked about it. I did an entire series on the Bible translations. That's why I'm so concerned about these seminaries that hire non-believing teachers to teach. And then these modern translation committees like the NIV that included unsaved translators, some of whom were even professing homosexuals. Because until you get born again, you're never going to understand this book. You're never going to be able to understand and unlock the mysteries. You don't do it. He does, by the grace of God operating through you and the power and agency of the Holy Spirit. Sure, I know you're going to get the words in those songs, but you're never going to get the music. You're never going to understand in the spirit. The Bible says, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. And why? Well, think about modern TV, okay? If you have, Terry and I cut the cable. We used to have DirecTV. Now we stream a few things, and we have a digital antenna, and we pick up digital TV signals. Now, you can't see them. They're unseen without the receiver, the TV. And similarly, there's this unseen spirit realm out there broadcasting what I can call WORD, the Word of God. And if you're a natural man without the spiritual antenna and the spiritual receiver, you're not going to see it. Now, that spiritual receiver is your spirit. But in order for you to actually receive it, you have to have that lamp lit. And for a lamp to be lit, it needs to be filled with oil. And that oil is the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, and you got to read it in the New King James, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, an oil lamp. And when you light the lamp, you have light searching all the inner depths of the heart. Now, the Bible says that he, that's the natural man, does not welcome the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So that lamp has to be lit by God. And for it to be lit, you become born again. Now, Nicodemus was the master theologian in Israel. He was one of the top in the Sanhedrin. But Jesus said, aren't you a master in Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? Read John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and you're going to see that Jesus said to Nicodemus, religious leader of the day, that if you want to understand this, dude, you need to get born again. And Nicodemus was just totally confused by that concept. Just like the vice president was. And that's because all of the education that Nicodemus had was intellectual. And this intellectual head knowledge is never going to help you with this stuff I'm trying to share with you now. So that's my concern about unsaved professors in seminaries and unsaved contributors to modern translation committees. They simply do not understand. Just like St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, stewards of the mysteries of God must first be found faithful. It means they have to have the faith of Jesus Christ in them. Otherwise, they don't understand. And I'm telling you, when we allow seminarians to be taught by professors who are unsaved, when we allow translation committees to have unsaved committee members, we are creating a terrible problem. And it's terribly wrong to do this, and that's part of the fall of the today, folks. When you talk to an unsaved man about Jesus, a lot of times they'll say, well, I just don't see it, Bro Ken. And I'm telling you, if you're out there witnessing to people and they say that, don't argue with them. They're telling you the truth. Just pray for them after you've shared the news, after you've planted the seed, and allow the Holy Spirit to work. Allow the Holy Spirit to water that seed that you planted. He's going to tell them the truth, not you. You planted or watered, and the Lord's going to reap the harvest. The natural man's born into the natural world, and never forget that. He's blind to the spiritual world, so he's bound in this material world. The material world's all he knows. For the love of money, it's the root of all evil. He's a materialist, pure and simple. He has no capacity for spiritual things. In Jude, verse 19, Jude describes it as being sensual, having not the spirit. Now, that word sensual is the same word that's translated here in this passage of Corinthians as natural. It means to be living by the senses. Now, years ago, Pastor Rogers, he visited the mayor in Moscow, and he met with the administrators of Moscow. This was after the fall of the Soviet Union. And Adrian told them not to emulate everything in the West. Capitalism is the sole key to success, because it isn't. And then, folks, did you know that capitalism and communism are simply two forms of materialism? So don't think about pure capitalism as the ultimate key to success in any culture. He said the best example he could provide, and what he's trying to make a point here on, is think of the life of a good dog, you know? That good dog, or a good life for a dog, only requires four things: food, shelter, stimulation, and affection. And capitalism provides all those things for a good life. Let's face it, in the Western world, until this current crisis with the energy and the food now, men and women, we had a good life. We had ample food, warm shelter. We had all sorts of achievements from our work and our sports and our hobbies. And we had an ideal environment to raise a natural family. We did. Good enough for man. It's good enough for a dog, and the dog's going to be happy if he has that. But a man will have this void in his heart, okay? And that void can only be filled by God. If it's left unfilled, what man does is he seeks perverse ways to try to fill that void. And that's why you get into all of these perversions, from sex to gambling to substance abuse. You know, a great man, Pascal, once said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in every man's heart, and man will never be satisfied until he knows the Lord. So are you a natural man, born into the natural world, blind to the spiritual, and bound to the material realm? Well, if so, I'm telling you, you need to have your chains cut free. And the way to have your chains cut free, folks, the way that that's going to happen, is to become born again. And that's the spiritual man. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. So the natural man does what comes naturally, whereas the spiritual man does what comes spiritually. And the spiritual man has not only been born once, but he's been born twice. Verse 11 reads, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God." Then in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God." So, in summary, the spiritual man lives by the spirit, knows by the spirit. Verse 12 says he's received the spirit of God. That's the oil coming into your lamp, your spirit, God's lamp, and being born twice. You know, folks, salvation is not merely getting man to heaven, only an aftermath of the salvation event. It's about getting God into man through the Holy Spirit. You know, Christians aren't simply changed persons or better people. No. In Christ, we are made new. We're new creatures. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Doesn't that blow your mind? You know, true believers aren't like tadpoles that become frogs. No, they're not. Frog that was kissed by the princess and becomes a prince. It's a miracle. That's what I'm trying to say. It's supernatural. They like to say that when a man or a woman gets saved or born again, it's like God's hands reaching out from heaven and pouring a little bit of oil into the Holy Spirit, which is our lamp, and then lighting it. And that's the best description I've ever heard. by getting born again. Remember what Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 said. You know, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, illuminating the heart. And notice again in verse 12 of Corinthians. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. Spirit of God. And when's that happen, folks? That happens when we get born again. So there are the three marks of a believer. We now have the life of the Spirit in us. And he lives by, and now we live by the Spirit, and we learn by the Spirit. So life, living, and learning truly all happens by the Spirit. So I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to pick this up next week. Talk about the carnal man. And that's the believers who have turned back to the ways of the world. But which are you? Which category are you? Are you natural or are you spiritual? And then next week, if you answered spiritual, we're going to determine whether or not you're still spiritual, and I've done it, so I'm not, and I'm better than you. Have you fallen back into the natural world as a carnal man? But remember, folks, these are truths. And after you ponder it this week, we're going to check back next week and answer these questions and much, much more. But I just encourage you as you go out this week, to never give in, no, never, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that Holy Spirit that I've been talking about through this entire message, that Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that Holy Spirit is the same Spirit that lives in you and me. Let's lift our hands with Jeremy Camp and praise the Lord. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my Spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.